in the limelight. The Indian Ocean is one of the most contested regions in the world today. China, the United States, and India, and also Japan and other rich and powerful states are struggling for influence over Sri Lanka, which is in the geographic heart of the Indian Ocean. The sea lanes of the Indian Ocean are considered to be the busiest in the world, with over 80% of global maritime oil trade estimated to be passing through them. Here we present you an interesting article that appeared in Asia Times website. The article has been written by University Professor Dr. Asoka Bandarajay. The piece is titled Resistance to US Intervention in Sri Lanka. Stay with us for more of Asoka Bandarajay's article. Sri Lanka is a participant in the Maritime Belt and Silk Road Initiative, or BRI, China's extensive network of ports and maritime facilities connecting the Pacific and Indian Oceans. In January of 2017, the Sri Lankan government granted China a 99-year lease of Hambantota Port in exchange for $1.1 billion in debt relief. China is also developing other projects in Sri Lanka, such as the $1.4 billion port city in Colombo, on land reclaimed from the Indian Ocean. In a bid to curtail Chinese expansion across Asia, the United States is turning strategically located Sri Lanka into a military logistic hub and the center of the so-called free and open Indo-Pacific region policy, which is actually a cover for American hegemony. Moreover, the US-Japan-Australia-India alliance is seeking to involve Sri Lanka in taking on the Chinese challenge. Control of Sri Lanka has become more urgent for the United States since the International Court of Justice, the ICJ, ruled in February of this year that US occupation of the Chagos Archipelago is illegal. The Chagos Islands lie in the Indian Ocean, and the islands should be handed back to Mauritius as rapidly as possible. The Diego Garcia military base was established after Britain, which had occupied the Chagos Archipelago, forcibly removed its inhabitants between 1968 and 1973. Diego Garcia is one of America's most important and secretive military bases in the Indian Ocean. It has been central in launching invasions in Iraq and Afghanistan, and flying missions across Asia, including over the South China Sea. If the islands go back to Mauritius, and the Chagossians who sued for their right to return are allowed back to their homes, then the United States will require an alternative base. And that could be Sri Lanka. In January of 2015, the US-backed Sri Lankan government replaced the former Mahinda Rajapakse government that defeated the Liberation Tigers of Tamil Eelam, or LTTE. Soon thereafter, the new government and the United States co-sponsored a United Nations Human Rights Council resolution in Geneva, Switzerland, calling for accountability for alleged war crimes and missing persons in the final stages of the war against the LTTE, the Liberation Tigers of Tamil Eelam. The UNHRC resolution pressured the Sri Lankan government to make significant changes, including the dismissal and imprisonment of its intelligence officers and army personnel. These measures weakened Sri Lankan intelligence and security, paving the way for the Easter Sunday carnage by terrorists. The Easter attacks are now being used to justify the acceleration of US intervention in Sri Lanka, which had already been increasing over the last few years. However, the three main bilateral agreements the United States has deployed to assert its political, economic, and military control over Sri Lanka, the Millennium Challenge Corporation, MCC, the Acquisition and Cross-Servicing Agreement, the ACSA, and the Status of Forces Agreement, or SOFA, are facing massive local opposition. the Millennium Challenge Corporation, MCC, a foreign aid agency established by the US Congress, is ready to sign a compact with Sri Lanka to facilitate private sector investment and economic growth. Based on a constraints analysis completed by the Center for International Development at Harvard University, the compact identifies three constraints to growth in Sri Lanka: policy uncertainty, poor transportation and logistics, and inadequate access to land, especially the difficulty of the private sector in accessing state land for commercial development. The Millennium Challenge Corporation, MCC Compact, would undertake transportation and land management in return for a grant of $480 million to Sri Lanka. Proponents claim that the distribution of a million deeds granting outright ownership is a poverty alleviation measure. However, critics of the deal, such as MONLA, or Movement for Land and Agricultural Reform, see a setup for a massive land grab, displacement and pauperization. Large multinational companies have made small-time farmers bankrupt and are buying off their agricultural land. By giving desperate people an asset that they can sell, the government has ensured that these lands will be sold off. The Sri Lankan Foreign Ministry is attempting to hand over the task of drawing land survey maps and creating a streamlined database of 3.6 million parcels of state-owned land to Trimble Incorporated, a US-based geological information system and mapping firm, for 15 years. Survey department trade unions have gone on strike, opposing the move, which local surveyors see as a threat to their employment and national security and a waste of expenditure. Neither the Millennium Challenge Corporation MCC agreement nor the new Sri Lankan Physical Plan 2018 to 2050 associated with the compact have yet been made public. The State Land Special Provisions Bill 2 has not been submitted to Cabinet approval because of its connection to the MCC. This lack of transparency has raised grave concerns among the public and the Sri Lankan diaspora regarding US control over vital resources of land and transportation and its impact on the local economy, the environment and the social and cultural norms of Sri Lanka. A projected physical spatial structure map for 2050, details of which have been leaked to the public, has sparked fears that the economic corridor proposed by the compact for the Trincomalee-Colombo Highway could splinter Sri Lanka into two separate entities under the control of the United States, resulting in the loss of sovereignty, unity and territorial integrity of Sri Lanka. The US-backed Sri Lankan Prime Minister Ranil Wickremesinghe has reportedly signed the MCC agreement, but President Maithripala Sirisena has refused to do so. America's ambassador in Sri Lanka, Alena Teplitz, has written to the president urging him to sign on. The United States seems to be in a hurry to seal the deal before a new government in Sri Lanka that is less friendly towards Washington comes into office by 2020. The previous Sri Lankan government signed an acquisition and cross-services agreement, or ACSA, with the United States without parliamentary approval during its armed conflict with the LTTE. The US Defense Department, the Pentagon, and the Sri Lankan Ministry of Defense entered another acquisition and cross-services agreement on 4th of August 2017. While the 2007 acquisition and cross-services agreement permitted US military vessels to enter Sri Lankan ports on a one-off basis, the 2017 acquisition and cross-services agreement again appears to be open-ended. Whereas the 2007 ACSA was only 8 pages, the 2017 Acquisition and Cross-Services Agreement is said to be 83 pages long, with more than 50 annexes listing US commands and military establishment allowed to use Sri Lanka's airports and seaports. The 2017 agreement is designed to facilitate reciprocal logistical support between the United States and Sri Lanka for use during combined exercises, training, deployment, port calls, operations, or other cooperative efforts, or for unforeseen circumstances or exigencies in which one of the parties may have a need for logistics support, supplies, and services. Reportedly, it allows every security or military apparatus in the U.S. access to Sri Lanka, making the country the main supply hub for United States armed forces in the Indo-Pacific region. The Sri Lankan cabinet approval of the Acquisition and Cross-Services Agreement 2017 hastily, without careful examination or discussion under pressure from U.S.-backed Sri Lankan officials, ACSA was approved without thorough study by armed forces commanders and officials who have serious reservations over some of its provisions. The Acquisitions and Cross-Services Agreement was not presented to the Sri Lankan Parliament. The signing of the ACSA was shrouded in secrecy without media coverage or publicity, reportedly as directed by Atul Kashyap, U.S. ambassador to Sri Lanka at the time. The renewed ACSA has not been made public despite requests for transparency by opposition political parties, by the President of Sri Lanka and the President of the Bar Association of Sri Lanka, BASL, and many other prominent politicians. The Sri Lankan government signed the Status of Forces Agreement, or SOFA agreement, with the United States in 1995 during the armed conflict to facilitate training of Sri Lankan security forces by U.S. officials. The United States has requested that Sri Lankan government accept a new Status of Forces Agreement expanding the 1995 SOFA by including an Annex B. Unlike the already signed Acquisition and Cross-Services Agreement, the new SOFA will not be limited to purchase of goods and services and will include rules governing U.S. military personnel in Sri Lanka. The Sunday Times published a draft SOFA on 30th of June this year, revealing that it would provide full diplomatic immunity, not only to any member of the U.S. Armed Forces, but also to U.S. contractors and employees of U.S. Armed Forces operating in Sri Lanka. U.S. Army personnel could be present in any part of Sri Lanka without any restrictions and carry arms in uniform. They could enter and leave Sri Lanka without U.S. identification, in other words, without passports or even visas. They would be above Sri Lankan law and not be liable for criminal offences committed in Sri Lanka. The U.S. Department of Defense, the Pentagon, may not be subject to any local taxes for any materials, supplies, equipment, and services, including construction, they contract in Sri Lanka. The U.S. Department of Defense would also be allowed to operate its own telecommunications systems in Sri Lanka without cost to the U.S. government. The Status of Forces Agreement has been temporarily stayed by the Sri Lankan president. With the Acquisition and Central Services Agreement already signed and so far pending, U.S. security companies, notably Sallyport, are already running advertisements to recruit U.S. citizens with active top-secret clearance to work for U.S. defense operations in Sri Lanka. Outrage over the blatant violation of Sri Lanka's independence and sovereignty and opposition to the Status of Forces Agreement SOFA, as well as to the Acquisition and Central Services Agreement and the MCC Compact, are mounting across different strata and sectors of Sri Lankan society. The Chief of Defence Staff, the Chamber of Commerce, and the President of the BASL have warned of the dangers that the Status of Forces Agreement poses to Sri Lanka's national interests. The political party Sri Lanka Podujana Peramuna and the newly formed Stop USA campaign are organising media briefings and mass rallies calling for transparency and accountability in making international agreements. In response to the rising opposition, the United States has rebranded the Status of Forces Agreement as a Visiting Forces Agreement, or VFA. However, Sri Lankan President's Counsel, M.M. Zuhair, warns, with SOFA in hand, the Americans do not require a military base in Sri Lanka because the whole island will be a US-controlled superstate operating above Sri Lanka's laws. While the US expects future Sri Lankan governments to respect international obligations taken on by the current US-backed government, the very legitimacy of the MCC Compact, the Acquisition and Cross-Services Agreement, and the Status of Forces Agreement is widely being questioned in Sri Lanka. As eminent analyst Neville Laduwahedi argues, the Supreme Court must rule on procedures to be followed when agreeing to bilateral treaties, determining if the procedures adopted are consistent or not with the hardcore principles of the Constitution, regardless of the contents or with whom the agreements have been signed. Analyst Neville Laduwahedi clearly states that all agreements must have the consent of the Sri Lankan Parliament. Any agreement or treaty signed in the name of the Sri Lankan people by the executive, that is, the president or the cabinet, without the consent of the parliament, amounts to a violation of the sovereignty of the Sri Lankan people. Such agreements or treaties have no legitimacy vis-à-vis international law as determined by the Vienna Convention on Law of Treaties of 1969. Notwithstanding the violation of people's rights and illegitimacy of the proposed amendments, Sri Lankans recognize the importance of maintaining good relationships with the United States of America, also with China, India, and various other countries. However, they do not wish to sacrifice the principles of sovereignty, democracy, and the rule of law in doing so.